We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
741-0929. That is the phone line. That is also the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line if you want to interact with us. We stream online at 929thegame.com. You can catch us live, replays of the shows, breaking sports news, our finest moments. It's all there at 929thegame.com, our new and improved website. Download your radio.com app. Put that on your device that you carry around, like a phone or a tablet or a boombox or a Walkman or Sega Genesis or whatever you got for a device, Nintendo 64. Just put it on there. That way you can be listening to us on the go, and also the cool new feature of replaying any moments over the past 24 hours as well from the station. All the social media for the station is at 929 The Game, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. As I said, if you go to our Facebook page, you got it up on Facebook and Twitter, Jarvis. So our promo with Teddy Long, I encourage you to get your tickets. It was a really fun event. I'm going to start being a part of it. We're going to get Jarvis involved as we move along in this thing too. And Jarvis and I want a shot at the tag team titles. Sorry. And our finishing move is Jarvis going to put him on his shoulders, and I'm going to do the death drop or whatever. I'm going to do Road Warrior Hawk coming off the top with the clothesline. Animal will just put him up on his shoulders, and Hawk's going to come off the top. So again, everybody's got a gimmick. But I encourage you, bring a toy, come down to Hampton High School, hang out with me tomorrow night starting at 7. So thanks to Teddy Long and the crew for coming by. Follow me and Jarvis on Twitter. I am at JMCH316, at JMCH316. He is at JarvisD90, at JarvisD90. So we get ready for championship weekend in the world of college football. Coming up here in just a few minutes, we will see the kickoff of the Pac-12 championship game, Utah versus Oregon. You know, one of the things I said is that I still think that the ACC ought to play earlier, a little bit earlier, and play on Friday night and play in Mercedes-Benz Stadium. But, I mean, that's a lot to have to work out. I get all that, and I understand that. But still, I think it'd be cool to have the ACC title game here as well. Good matchup tonight. I mean, Utah trying to keep its playoff hopes alive. Certainly, they benefit the most from a Georgia loss at that point, because, you know, that gives Utah, obviously, if they win tonight, probably a spot in the playoff. I mean, I think it would be hard at that point. Probably hard to keep Utah out of the playoff if Georgia does lose, because LSU, Ohio State, Clemson, I think that, you know, if those three are undefeated, they're in the playoff no matter what. I think LSU is in either way. But if LSU isn't the SEC champion and Georgia is, Georgia will certainly stay ahead of Utah. Utah will not get the bounce over beating Oregon. While that's a good win, you know, at the end of the day, it's not going to be the same as beating LSU, obviously. So, you know, Utah is a tremendous defensive group, man. They are a loaded front with a bunch of guys that you're going to see on Sunday. They are the number one run defense in America. They only give up about 57 yards a game in rushing. Almost nobody runs against them. But this is what you have, and I said this about Jake Fromm, and we're going to talk to Chip Towers coming up at the 8:20. But this is why you have upperclassmen quarterbacks like this starting for you. This is what you have Justin Herbert for, is your senior quarterback to go out there and take over and win a game like this tonight. Now, Oregon has been really good of late. I mean, you know, they lost to Auburn to start the season in a game that I still think they're kicking themselves, because, you know, they'd be in the mix, even losing to Arizona State. They'd be in the mix, you know, having beaten Auburn, and they did as much to lose that game as Auburn did to win it. I don't know what their offensive play calling was at times in the second half. That game dropped wide open touchdown pass that Herbert threw in the first half that the guy dropped, and just missed opportunities for Oregon to have put that game away. But because of that, and then certainly the Arizona State loss, they are out of the playoff picture. This is a good game. This is a very good quarterback, a guy who's going to be looked at as one of the, you know, probably two or three top quarterback picks in the NFL against what is one of the stingiest defenses in the country in Utah, and especially up front running the football. Oregon's going to have to find some kind of running game. You can't be 100%, you know, lopsided on offense in this game tonight. They're going to have to find a way to run some of the football. Tomorrow we start at noon, Baylor and Oklahoma, rematch from a few weeks ago when they played in Waco. This will be, of course, in Jerry's World at AT&T Stadium. I think Oklahoma puts it up on them this time. I think Baylor's best chance to have beaten Oklahoma was a few weeks ago in Waco with all the momentum and game day being there and all that kind of stuff, and they had the lead and couldn't hang on. Baylor's had a really nice season, but I think Oklahoma puts it on them tomorrow. I think Oklahoma gets a chance to figure some things out, and Jalen Hurts still in the Heisman talk. I think it's Joe Burrow's award to lose at this point. Now, remember, now I believe the voting is done in the Heisman. I don't think they count the championship games as part of your Heisman resume. I think the voting has to be done before them. Sunbelt, by the way, locally, if you're a Georgia State fan, Louisiana, the Raging Cajuns will take on App State in a game that I don't think App State's going to have a whole lot of problem in winning tomorrow. I think they will wrap things up. Rematch from just a week ago, Cincinnati and Memphis hook up in the AAC championship game. And, of course, LSU, Georgia, coming up. And I said, we'll talk to Chip Towers in the next segment. You know, defensively, Georgia, as we've said, one or two in America with how good they've been. But number one is they can't start out and play the way that they played last week against Georgia Tech. If they have the same first half against LSU that they did against Georgia Tech, they will be down by three or four touchdowns at the half. They won't be able to keep up. I think it's very key for Georgia to play the field possession game. I mean, you have to take your shots, but at the same time, you don't create short fields for LSU. I don't believe, as good as LSU's offense is, I still don't believe that LSU's going to go, you know, 80, 85 yards a clip on Georgia up and down the field like that. But you give LSU 50 yards, 40 yards to do it, then they'll run it up on Georgia at that point. And as good as Georgia's defense is, they're the best red zone defense in America. One other interesting stat, they've only given up 6 points this year in the third quarter of games, but they haven't also seen they haven't seen an offense like this. You know, and that's where it's going to be fascinating is something has to give. You have arguably the number one or number two defense in all of America in Georgia against what has been the best offense in America in LSU with the Heisman Trophy winner. And by the way, maybe the guy who's not just the most underrated player in the SEC, he may be one of the most underrated players in all of college football in Hilaire, the running back, Clyde Edwards-Hilaire, the running back for LSU. He's run for more yards than DeAndre Swift. He's third in the conference in rushing. And he's 13th, by the way, in the SEC in receptions. He's caught 43 passes, out of the backfield out there. Georgia's going to have to get a little bit more creative and a little bit more dynamic on offense. They're not just going to take their line up and push against them. And one of the things that brought up to Chip is, if you look, and I understand the wide receiver play isn't what it is at Alabama. Nobody's got that, okay? I mean, you go Alabama 1, Oklahoma 2, then you start to throw in Clemson and a couple other teams after that. But I understand, nobody's got the wide receiver play of Alabama. Texas has pretty good wide receivers. But my point to all of this is that Sam Ellinger and Tua Tagovailoa, they both threw for over 400 yards against the LSU team. LSU has been able to be had at times on defense. They've not been the dominant, completely shut you down run defense that we've gotten used to. Okay, they have a great player in Grant Delpit, who's one of the best players in all of the country, and certainly maybe the best safety in America. But they've been a defense that's been able to be had. And I think Georgia, if they can get a little bit creative, that's going to have to be more than just turn and hand off. They're going to have to take some chances. You're going to have to, because Georgia's not going to win this game 13-10. Now, could they win it 24-21? Yeah, maybe. 27-24? Yeah. I think they have to try to keep LSU under that 24 mark if they're going to win this thing tomorrow. Can Georgia do it? Yeah, absolutely. I think they only scored 23 against Auburn. Yeah, some things can be had. But I think the LSU defense, you can get some yards and some points against them. Two of the really good quarterbacks that they've played against had field days against their defense. Jake Fromm's got to step up and do that tomorrow. And Kirby Smart has to have the confidence to allow him to do that. Georgia's not just going to line up and run it down LSU's throat and control it and win the game. It sounds good. That's not how it's going to play out tomorrow. Ohio State, Wisconsin, by the way, tomorrow night. The two nighttime games, Virginia at Clemson. This ain't the time to get Clemson. With all due respect to Virginia, they got ranked. They got moved up to 23rd. Bryce Perkins had a really great game against Virginia Tech. They snapped that long losing streak. They're going to get obliterated by Clemson. You know why? Because Clemson's out to send a message right now to everybody. And Dabo's made it. Listen, do you think Dabo's just kind of speaking off the cuff, or do you think Dabo knew exactly what he wanted to get his message out to be? Dabo knew exactly what he wanted to say and what he wanted his message to be out there. Don't be fooled by any of that. He said exactly what he wanted to say and put a bug in everybody's ear. Ohio State, Wisconsin, Ohio State's going to run Wisconsin. Sorry. If you're hoping for a good game, I mean, that in Indianapolis and Lucas Oil Stadium, what tells you that that game on turf is going to be different than it was in a dome, by the way, than it was at the Horseshoe, what, a month or so ago, month and a half ago? What tells you it's going to be different? What has Wisconsin done to tell you that all of a sudden they're ready to line up against what probably is the most complete team in America right now, offensively, defensively? And I do really think you're going to see Chase Young in New York. When it's time for the Heisman ceremony, I think you're going to see Chase Young up there. I think he's going to be part of all of that. He's had too dominant of a season. I don't think he helped himself at times in the first half against Michigan. He had no stats. I mean, literally didn't show up on the board, you know. But he's been so good because he was great the week before against Penn State. He was a wrecking crew against Penn State, but he literally didn't show up on the stat sheet in the first half of the game against Michigan. Maybe they hold that a little bit against him, and obviously the defensive bias. But I think Chase Young has kind of transcended that conversation. I think he's one of those guys that people have looked at how dominant that he's been, that the defensive stigma maybe doesn't apply as much to him. We'll see. We'll see if he gets, you know, he's one of those guys that's got two other teammates to split votes up with. J.K. Dobbins and Justin Fields, obviously. Guys that he could split some votes, you know, with when it's all said and done. Again, I think it's Joe Burrow's Heisman to lose. I don't even know what he didn't do that would tell you. I mean, he's going to have the most yards in the SEC history in one season and touchdown passes and everything else. I do actually like Oregon tonight in this Pac-12 championship game. I don't think either team winning is surprising. I think these teams are both very good teams. They do it in different ways. I mean, Utah just stymies you. They run the football with Moss. He's a terrific running back. They run the football really well, and you just don't run it on them. You just don't get yards against, you know, Utah's defense. You know, we've been used to Utah being so good in their secondary. They've had some of those guys that have gone on the NFL out of their secondary, but this year it's their defensive front, and they've got multiple guys that play on Sunday. I still like Utah. I still think Herbert – you know, we'll show tonight and how good of a quarterback that he is, and we'll find just enough plays to, you know, to get it. I mean, Utah's not a dynamic offensive team. I mean, if it gets to be any kind of shootout, which you wouldn't expect that with Utah's defense, that Utah doesn't have the offense to keep up with all of that. So I think Oklahoma rolls tomorrow. I think you're going to see some of those games tomorrow. I think Oklahoma, Clemson, Ohio State all start rolling tomorrow. LSU, Georgia is by far and away the marquee game above everything else, head and shoulders. All right, speaking of UGA LSU SEC championship game, we will talk to the man that covers UGA for the AJC, Chip Towers. He'll join me next, Chuck Renekia Studios, Sports Radio 910 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is a John Chuck Show coming to you here on a Friday night, an SEC championship game eve Friday night, as yes, the Georgia Bulldogs once again representing the SEC East in the SEC title game here at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. We go out to the WadeFord.com hotline. It's our guy that covers the Bulldogs for the AJC. Chip Towers joins us. As always, you can follow Chip on Twitter at CTowersAJC. He's going to have all of your coverage all weekend long about this Bulldogs and LSU matchup. Chip, as always, buddy, thanks for jumping on, as hopefully you're not getting arrested right now.
Yeah, you know, right. I'm at the Hyatt downtown, and a fire truck's going by right as we speak. Just got off the shuttle from Mercedes-Benz Stadium, and you know, all the walk-through and interview opportunities over there, and get back downtown. It's a bustling scene here, over and beyond the occasional fire truck. There's mostly LSU fans and Georgia fans running around, and it looks like a pretty festive atmosphere. Sure is.
You know, Chip, I always say about this game, short of the national title game and then the two semifinal games, this is the most important game that's played every year in college football.
Yeah, I mean, Kirby Smart would definitely agree with you on that. He's made a point all week long, and And look, I got to agree with him that the atmosphere and kind of the tension and the competition that surrounds this game is really unlike any other in college football. I mean, even, you know, national championship games and stuff, because it's just, it's a different environment. You know, there's a 50% split pretty much in tickets. Every single one of 73,000 seats will be filled. And, yeah, you know, there's a lot on the line. I mean, just every possession, you know, is well contested. And, you know, I've covered this probably every year since it's been to Atlanta, maybe with the exception of one or two. And it's always that way. It doesn't matter if it's Georgia and somebody like it has been the last 3 years, or Florida and Alabama, or different years it's been other teams. But that's always the way it is. And that's the way you got it this year with a number two ranked LSU team, a number four ranked Georgia team. You got the SEC Nation in town. You got a college football game day. And you got all kinds of national repercussions. So it's this one looks like it's falling right in line with all the others.
Chip, just gut reaction from you. I mean, gosh, you've covered this team for so long. But should Georgia only be 76th in the nation in passing offense?
Yeah, I mean, you know, well, I do think that's an outlier. You know, if you look at Georgia the past couple of years, even the past two, and then before that with Aaron Murray, Georgia's always a run-first team, but they always throw the ball around. And it's really, if you step back, and I was doing that this week and review, you know, what's been going on this whole year, look, that was the biggest question mark coming into the season. Georgia lost its, five of its top six pass catchers from its 2018 team, coming into this season. So the question coming into the season was, would they be able to replicate that? Would they be able to reproduce it? And they did for a large part of the season, or certainly the first half, when Lawrence Cager is healthy and good things are going on. But, you know, not so much since he's been hurt, which is really goes back to the second half of the Tennessee game, but he goes out in the first half against South Carolina. And Georgia's kind of, you know, sputtered in fits and starts ever since then. And then it seems like every time they get it going a little bit, they're either playing in a monsoon, or George Pickens is getting thrown out of a game, or, one thing or another. They just had a hard time, you know, getting it going and sustaining it.
Chip Towers joining us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. Of course, covers all things for the Georgia Bulldogs for the AJC as we get ready for SEC Championship action, Georgia and LSU. Before we get into some of the matchups of the game, because I do think that there it is a very interesting contrast in some of the styles. You know, I said a couple of weeks ago on our college football show, I thought maybe J.K. Dobbins was the most underrated player in college football. But you start looking at the numbers that Clyde Edwards-Helaire has put up in the conference this year. Third in rushing, first in rushing touchdowns. He's actually 13th in the conference in receiving yards, or in receptions. I mean, he's been everything. And he's actually run for more yards than even DeAndre Swift has. Is he maybe the most underrated player in the SEC? Because, man, they just lit it up against everybody, and maybe he just doesn't get enough love in that offense.
Well, I was the early part of the season, but he hadn't been ever since, you know, LSU played Alabama. If you remember that game, Edwards-Helaire was probably the most dominant force in the whole game. Alabama just couldn't stop him. And I think he's probably the biggest X factor in this game, because, I mean, if LSU can establish a run game or a pass out of the backfield game against Georgia, they're dead. I mean, you know, Georgia's going to do like they always do. They're going to sell their soul to stop the run, and that starts with stopping that kid, and he's tough. You know, he had two touchdowns against, people forget about last year when Georgia played them in Baton Rouge. They had two touchdowns against him then. So, he's not, he is a real deal force to be reckoned with. You know, and obviously it's their passing game first and foremost, but he does benefit, you know, from that passing game and getting forgot about from time to time. It's a great receiver out of the backfield too.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the John Chuckery Show. We're out on the WadeFord.com hotline. It's our guy Chip Towers. Covers everything for the Georgia Bulldogs for the AJC. We'll always have your coverage all weekend long. Also on Twitter, at C Towers AJC, as we look forward to the SEC Championship game. You know, you look at last week in the start, you know, for Georgia. I don't think it can be underestimated enough. If Georgia comes out the way that they did, and they played a good first quarter, but that was a dreadful second quarter against Tech. They'll be down 40-7 at halftime. This isn't Georgia Tech's offense that just kind of sputters and stammers. And I think getting out of the gate and trying to establish, you know, sort of their will, if you will, especially against an LSU defense that can be had a little bit, is going to be so key for Georgia to try to stay in this thing.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more about that. I mean, I think it's really important for Georgia, if at all possible, to get ahead, to get LSU playing from behind, because that's something they virtually haven't done hardly all year, certainly not since the Auburn game and occasionally in the Alabama game. They just don't get behind very often. And if you can go down, you know, best-case scenario for Georgia, I think, is to end up receiving the ball and get down and at least get a field goal or 7 points, have them down 7-0 and control the offense. I mean, they need the ball 15 minutes plus, you know, in that first half, you know, just to establish their style of play and not let it get into LSU style of play. Because if you do any turnovers, any quick three and outs, those kind of things, LSU is going to take full advantage of them. The next thing you know, you're going to be playing, you know, from way behind.
And, Chip, even to that point, you know, I think field position is so important in this game. Look, I know how great LSU's offense is, but they're not going to drive 80 yards down the field on Georgia. Georgia is that good of a defense. Fewest red zone points and in all the numbers you can throw out. 6 points, I think it is, in the third quarter, you know, for the whole year. You know, even if Georgia can get a few first downs early to where they can keep LSU's offense kind of pinned back, I think that's a key, you know, as well, because I know how great Burrow is, and he's going to win the Heisman, but it ain't like Georgia isn't maybe the first or second best defense in the nation that he's going to face on Saturday either.
You know, listen to Ed Orgeron today. He said the best by far that they have played. Of course, he's going to say that heading into this game, but statistics support it, you know, based on who all LSU has played this year and who all Georgia's played this year. You know, it's the number two defense in the country against the number two offense in the country, and that's what's got everybody so excited. I was talking to David Pollack today, and, you know, not only is he an analyst for Game Day, he's a former Georgia defensive end, and he thinks Georgia can do it, but he said, you know, you're not going to shut them down. You can't come in here expecting shutouts and that kind of stuff. He says you gotta force them to do some things they don't want to do and kind of have a slow bleed. Let them get what they need to get between the 20s, but then get really, you know, tough once you get inside the red zone. And that's what the hope is here on Saturday, is that they can, you know, just get, you know, bear down in the red zone, which Georgia's done a great job of all year, and just limit them to points. Look, you know, LSU's coming into this game averaging 48.7 points a game. That's just incredible to think about. But I also think it's realistic that you can hold them to half of that. You know, the converse of that is Georgia hasn't been scoring at a high rate. They haven't scored more than 27 points all year. But I do believe that's subpar, that's below their norm. So I think somewhere in between there lies a pretty good game. If Georgia can get their offense going against an LSU defense that is not one of their best ever, and do what they do on defense to limit LSU well below what they normally do, I think you're going to have yourself a whale of a ball game.
You know, and Chip, it's why I bring up the point I did with the very first question. And look, I understand what Alabama has at wide receiver, and Texas is very good at wide receiver. But Sam Ehlinger threw for over 400 yards on that defense. Tua threw for over 400 yards on that defense. And, you know, wide receivers, I understand. But Jake Fromm is supposed to be in that, you know, category of those quarterbacks. I mean, he's looked at as one of those guys. So, you know, I think there is points to be had. But I think, you know, in a lot of ways that this is kind of what you have Jake Fromm for. This is why you have a 3-year starter at quarterback and an upperclassman, is, you know, to go in and get it done and win games like this.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really begrudge Jake Fromm that much for it. I mean, here's the thing. You know, Georgia can't do what LSU is doing right now. Can they do it eventually? I think so. I mean, they just signed George Pickens, a 5-star wide receiver, Dom Blaylock, a 5-star wide receiver. But those guys are freshmen. The guys that LSU is trotting out there, particularly the first three, are otherworldly type of receivers that they're able to do that stuff with. Look, LSU and Joe Burrows aren't doing what they're doing if they don't have those receivers right now. Mm-hmm. And very few people do. Alabama has an exceptional core of receivers, and LSU has an exceptional core of receivers. Georgia does it right now. They had a pretty good one when you have Lawrence Cager in there, but not a great one. And that's to be expected when you think of Riley Ridley's in the NFL, Mecole Hardman. We see his highlights every weekend. Isaac Nauta, the tight end, their leading tight end, probably shouldn't have gone, but he went. You take all those guys along with Terry Godwin, that was 74.7% of Jake Fromm's completions last year. And you just can't reproduce that, especially with the injuries and other woes that they've had at that position this year. So Georgia's offense is not Georgia's typical offense. I don't think it's a typical running offense for Georgia, nor is it a typical passing offense for Georgia. They're just getting what they can out of it.
It is the marquee game on Championship Saturday. Georgia and LSU will square off at Mercedes-Benz Stadium for, obviously, all the marbles in the SEC, and one or both are going to the playoffs after all is said and done on Saturday, and he will have all of the coverage for you. He is Chip Towers, and join us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. Covers everything for the Bulldogs, for the AJC. Follow him all weekend long on Twitter, at @CTowersAJC, and of course, read all of his articles online at AJC.com. As always, Chip, have fun, man. I'll have to tell you to have fun about this one tomorrow, and should be a good one. And, we'll talk to you here soon as we sort all of this out, and maybe a potential playoff spot for Georgia when it's done.
Can't wait to see how it turns out. Thanks for your time.
You got it. John Chuck, we're here. We'll be back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Back in the Kia studios with you here. It is the John Chuck, we show, hanging out on a Friday night. 404-741-0929. That is our phone line. That is also our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line if you want to jump in and interact with the show. Follow us on Twitter. I'm at JMCH316. He is at JarvisD90. Watching the Pac-12 championship game, Oregon up early in this game, 7-0 with the ball back and just about at midfield. I did say I liked Oregon in this game tonight. If they can find a way to get up 14-0 in this game early on, that'd be a big deal because, Utah's not the type of offense that is geared toward trying to make big comebacks. They're a team that runs the football really well, plays tremendous defense. Their quarterback doesn't turn the ball over. So they play smart football, and Oregon, they're going to be close. Oregon driving right on down. So we'll do our Falcon flyover at the top of the hour. Still a lot to get into tonight on a Friday. But first, let's get to what's bugging Chuckery.
Don't look now, but somebody out there just got Chuckery ticked off. Like, that's hard.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
It's time for What's Bugging Chuckery on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
You know, there are sports franchises that you just don't like, okay? And then there are sports franchises that are just completely annoying. The Houston Rockets are truly, without question, the most annoying franchise in professional sports, okay? They are the biggest bunch of crybaby whiners in all of the world of sports. I don't know if it's even close. I can't even begin to imagine who's on their heels. So the Rockets are now officially protesting Tuesday's loss to the San Antonio Spurs, where they lost 135-133, emphasizing that James Harden's dunk was not counted as a basket, was a misapplication of rules, resulting in an incorrect score and not a judgment call by the officials. Says that Houston has been optimistic in the wake of the loss that the NBA office would take action without a protest being necessary. However, sources said the Rockets filed a protest to ensure that the NBA office will have to make a ruling in the ongoing investigation. The Rockets' hope, are you ready for this, is that the final 7 minutes, 50 seconds of the game will be replayed with Houston up by 15 points. Sources said the Rockets have no expectation that the league office will award them a win based on Houston actually outscoring San Antonio in regulation, which was a possibility raised by a Rockets source in the wake of the loss. Okay? This is way more convoluted than it should ever be for a Wednesday night game in the NBA when it's one of 8,000 freaking games that they play. You wonder why the Rockets can't get anything done.
They are the most weak-minded NBA franchise I think we've ever seen. They are the biggest bunch of crybabies about everything. Golden State, this team, that team. Now it's the Spurs. It is always, it's like the world is against them. Okay? Maybe if you, I don't know, play better, I don't know, handle your business, then it wouldn't be so bad. But they are, man, they are just unrootable. And like the Houston Rockets, it's not like the New York Yankees or the Boston Red Sox or the New England Patriots where there is something inherently easy to root against them. Okay? They're just easy to root against now because they're so annoying with everything. Literally, they just it's ridiculous. Every time you turn around, they've got another pro. At some point, Adam Silver should just fine them on principle for the number of protests that they filed. Did they really say in this story? They really said this in print, by the way, too. The Rockets hope that the final 7 minutes, 50 seconds of the game will be replayed with Houston. What are they going to do? Like a dark arena match? What is this? This is going to be. Do you remember the empty arena match between The Rock and Mick Foley at halftime of the Super Bowl in what 99? Right, halftime of the Super Bowl in 99. Do you remember The Rock and Mankind did an empty arena match with Vince on the call? Vince actually called play by play on it. They brought the Rock and Mick Foley had an empty where they went up and down the aisles and everywhere. It's an empty arena. Now that's a takeoff, by the way, of the great Jerry Lawler, Terry Funk empty arena match. But is that what they're going to do? The Rockets want to have a empty arena finish with the Spurs for the final 7 minutes. Who's setting all that up? Let's say if the league agreed to it, how are you going to pull that one off? Where are they going to have it at? Like some rec gym or something like that? Honestly, the Rockets have become the most annoying team, and honestly, they can't lose enough as far as I'm concerned. They can't lose enough. And let me tell you, they have a P for a Valentine because they are the least resilient group of guys, and all they ever do is complain. They can never get it done. You know what I mean? They can never win the big one when they need to. When it's right there for them, man. You talk about having a P for a Valentine. That is without a doubt the Houston Rockets. And that's what's bugging Chuck Reed. 404-741-0929 is the phone line. That is also our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line if you want to interact with the show. We will have our Falcon flyover coming up at the top of the hour. Oregon had to settle for a field goal. That was actually a good defensive stand for Utah because they had it down deep in there. But 10-0 right now, Utah. They got to find some points and start to get back in this game if they're going to hang tight because they can't afford to get into a shootout with Oregon. They won't win that matchup. And I know Oregon had like 43 yards of rushing on their first drive. When you consider that number, you say, it's 40. Yeah, but Utah only gives up 55 yards a game defensively. Nobody runs it on them by and large out there. So looking forward tomorrow. We will be at Stats. Everybody's going to be there, actually. As a matter of fact, Joy 92 on the game this coming Saturday. Pregame championship live broadcast at Stats Brew Pub off Marietta Street. So from 9 to 4, we're going to be there. So the doors are going to open at 10 a.m., okay? You get a chance to win a Herschel Walker autographed jersey. Going to have bar game competitions, and plus you can win a Stats Brew Pub gift card there as well. So John and Hugh are going to be out and about. Mike and Carl are going to do a show from 12 to 1, and then it will be the best college football show. Jarvis, I'm going to say in America. I'm just going to throw it out there. The best college football show in America will be College Football Game Time with myself, Randy McMichael, Chris Goforth. We will take you from 1 to 4, so we're going to take you all the way right up until kickoff of the SEC championship game tomorrow. We'll take you all the way up to that. As LSU and Georgia will kick off at 4 o'clock, we're set game. We'll be on CBS, as it always is. Brad Nessler, Gary Danielson will have the call and all of that. So if you're going to be downtown and, you know, SEC championship game, it's always a madhouse. And obviously with two teams that one not very far away, pretty local here in Georgia. And you know LSU loves to travel because, look, they're looking and thinking playoffs all the way and national title and everything all the way. So they'll be out en masse as well. The Cajun faithful will be out there en masse for all of it. So it's going to be a great event. Come down to Stats Brew Pub. Hang out with us. All the guys will be there. And College Football Game Time will go from 1 to 4 tomorrow. So plenty to break down. We'll recap this game and plenty of Georgia and LSU talk. Should be a lot of fun. I mean, you know, as they say, styles clash. You know, the best defense, number one or number two best defense in America versus what's been the best offense in America, or at least the number one or two offense in America this year. All right, when we get back, Jerry Jones, he had more curse words in a segment than I do on the Falcon Flyover on Sundays. We'll hear all that next. Chuck McKee Studios, Sports Radio, 910 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.